God has dealt with me in different ways, not in the same way as with him. But I know his ultimate goal always, always, always is to keep us humble so that he never has to oppose us. So that he can keep on giving us grace. He can't change his nature. God never changes nature. He is opposed to the proud. And it doesn't matter who it is proud. If it is Paul gets proud, God will oppose him. And the devil will be delighted. And the devil knows, I don't have to fight with people. I just make a person proud, God will fight with him. You know that? The devil is so clever. He doesn't have to trouble you. Just puff you up a little bit, God will do the rest. God will oppose you, and that's the end of your spiritual life. So the devil knows that, even if you don't. The most difficult thing for God to do is not create the universe. He did it in a moment. It's not difficult for God to bless a man. It's very easy. But to keep a man humble after he has blessed him, extremely difficult for Almighty God. And you see all around us the sad stories of mighty men of God who have fallen because God withdrew his grace, and that preacher falls into adultery. The other guy doesn't fall into adultery, he falls into the love of money. Just as bad. The anointing is gone. I've seen myself in my younger days. I think of one or two people I saw, mighty anointing. I see the same person 10 years later, 15 years later. It's not the same. More used, more proud, anointing gone. It scared me. I tell you, it really scared me. And I saw this, I keep my eyes open. And I said, Lord, please save me from this calamity. Do whatever you like, but save me from this calamity. For me, calamity is that God opposes you. Not financial. Those things are nothing. Sickness, nothing. But if God opposes you, what hope is there? But he is opposed to the proud. And the measure in which he opposes you depends on the measure of your pride. More proud, he opposes you more. If you're a believer, if you're an unbeliever, look at all these proud politicians who say all types of bombastic things. God doesn't bother about them. Even those who call themselves Christians. They're not Christians. Why does God ignore them? Because he says, they're not my children. God does not discipline. Do you punish other people's children? No. God doesn't punish other people's children. He leaves the devil's children alone. But when his own children are in danger, he does something. And Hebrews chapter 12 says that if God does not discipline you, you're not his child. Every good father disciplines his children. And one way is by giving us trials. In Psalm 66, it says, Psalm 66, verse 8. Bless our God, O people, sound his praises abroad, because he keeps us in life. He does not allow us to sink into death. He does not allow our feet to slip. But how is that he does it? Verse 10, thou hast tried us, O God. He refines us. Here's the answer of how God preserves us in life. Verse 9, he preserves us in life and does not allow us to slip. How? By refining us, putting us in the fire. And refining. This silver has got some alloys mixed in it. We got to burn out the alloys. And I'm sure a lot of things got burnt out of Brother Parisitham when he was put in the fire. And he brought us into the net. As he said, he couldn't go where he wanted. He would want to go here, want to go there, but no, there's a net there. He has to stay at home because of needs at home, which his wife couldn't handle on herself. There's a net. Some of you think you're more free. You can go here, you can go there. God put some of his greatest saints into a net. And as if that is not enough, he lays a heavy burden upon them, an oppressive burden. Is this God? It is God. An oppressive burden upon him, and he allows men to ride over our heads. That means men will come to us and say, what is this? You're serving God? Why do you have a child like this? Men riding over our heads and trampling us down. Okay. Then he takes us through fire, takes us out of the fire and puts us in the icy cold water. Takes us from the icy cold water, puts us back into the fire. But at the end of it all, he brought us to a place of abundance. You want to get to the place of abundance? This is the route. I was looking at a concordance. I don't know Hebrew, but I was looking at a concordance which showed the Hebrew words, and I saw something. This place of abundance is a Hebrew word called revayah. It comes in the Bible in only two places. Very interesting. Here it tells us how you come to this place of abundance. But this word revayah is also translated in a very well-known Psalm 23, where there it is translated as Psalm 23. And verse 5. My cup overflows. My cup runs over with blessing to thousands of other people. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. But between those two sentences, anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows, comes Psalm 66, verses 10 to 12. That should be inserted there. Revayah, my cup, revayah. There, Lord, you brought me to this place of revayah. See God's ways. You understand now that, do you think if you were given the opportunity to plan Parisuttam's life and to make him a great blessing, would you have ever thought of such a way? No. We would have made him a life comfortable and give him a good bank account. And God's ways are so different. So, one day, there's a song which I love to sing very often called, when we stand up in glory, I will bless the hand that guided. I will bless the heart, God's heart that planned my life. When throned, where glory dwelleth, in Emmanuel's land. I will bless the hand that guided my life. I'll bless the heart that planned my life. And I stand with Jesus and look back over life and say, Lord, you did all things well. There's a song we sing which says, and for the Lord has done for us, we will praise him through eternity. Very simple, it's just one line. If what the Lord has done for us, we'll praise him through eternity. And for what the Lord will do for us, we will praise him through eternity. And above all the rest in eternity, this note shall swell. My Jesus has done all things well.